T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Still doing strong work at the score, yeah, despite a revolving door of partners.
It's all good, man. Don't let it get to you, 18.
Afternoons on the score.
Young on the left point, gives it up to Temple. He launches a three ball. Good! On the left side of the floor. It's raining trays in Houston. We have liftoff.
Did you see the Mars landing? Speaking of liftoff, that was pretty cool.
Levine has fouled at midcourt on a pass off. Yes. Bill, do you believe that there is a living creature outside of this globe, this Earth?
Yes.
You do?
I think somewhere there, and living being some form of energy that is cognizant. Is that the right word?
Is that what?
Cognizant. Cognitive? Cognitive.
So you think there's something going on somewhere?
Yes.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the score.
Absolutely incredible stuff from Chuck and Bill. We're the home of the Bulls on the radio, by the way. Bulls got the win over the Pelicans last night, heading into the break. 2 games under 500. And Billy Donovan afterwards was not in the mood for throwing a bunch of bouquets at his team, which I thought was nice because let's not pretend like they're better than we are. We will talk Bulls with our guy Big Dave. I'm excited about this. He was great.
I love Big Dave. He's so fun, man.
Yeah, he was awesome on the Bulls Outsiders show. I was sad to see it go on NBC Sports Chicago. He's part of the Ball on Bulls podcast, and he's just a big personality who's a lot of fun, so he's going to join us and talk Bulls in 15 or 20 minutes. But man, you see Baker Mayfield, you see what he said on Twitter, and he's enough of a personality.
Yeah, go ahead. Like he saw a UFO, and he believes firmly, and he's dug in, right?
Yeah, it's great. He's enough of a celebrity with a big enough following that when he says he sees something like this, it gets aggregated. Like, it just makes the rounds, right? He's a starting quarterback in the NFL with name recognition, national television commercials. He's a celebrity. So if a celebrity says they see a UFO and they say almost 100%, it's going to generate conversation. Baker Mayfield, almost 100% M and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky on our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this? Question mark. 2,500 retweets and 35,000 likes later, Baker Mayfield is our latest person with a UFO sighting. Have you ever seen a UFO?
I've never seen a UFO. I've seen some things that I tried to convince myself were UFOs, but they all ended up being either airplanes or twinkling stars / celestial bodies. No, you?
Right, satellites, planes, yeah. Shooting stars maybe if you're out in the woods or the desert or something like that, and you can maybe convince yourself that you saw something like that.
Skyscraper with a cloud obscuring part of it. Like, I've been fooled.
Wow, that'd be a low UFO.
Sure. My older brother doing it from his attic apartment above the garage with the woo-hoo-hoo-hoo and the fakes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was the Brady Bunch. It was really close to being an actual thing that happened in my life.
I could see why that. No, that was dumb. But I could see why that might have been confusing. potentially. Yeah. Shane, Tanny, UFOs, either of you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have absolutely seen UFOs, and I believe in them. And I'm not the Bernstein fun ruiner where he says, well, anything in the sky that you can't identify as a UFO, and you probably just saw a meteorite. And
was
and
that his take?
Yeah, today it was ridiculous. Like, Layla was having a good time
with
it. Yeah, Layla was having a good time with it, just like speculating, and Bernstein comes in. Well, it was a weather balloon. In 2021, it was a weather balloon? You think we still use weather balloons?
Well, and yes, okay, I understand what he's doing. Like, it's called an unidentified flying object, so if you yourself can't identify it, then technically,
it's called being an ass.
Yeah, that's
but
not the point.
In 2021, like, our radar and tracking systems that everybody's using, like, just have something that they miss that completely?
Well, that's
Shane,
the point
that's
of
my
an alien. The alien is far enough advanced tech-wise to build something that will not show
evade
on radar.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the point of an alien. I'm glad you told me. That was just such an incredible qualifier at the beginning of a sentence. That's the point of an alien. Dumbass.
That's why they exist. That's why they exist.
They're
that's
not
going to
build
evolved.
Something that can be identified. They're not stupid.
Look, there's no way in hell that there's never been a UFO that has been within sight of our Earth. Just the math doesn't add up. Like, they're out there. Aliens are out there. We've established, and we all agree that they're out there somewhere. And of all these sightings, all the different things that have happened, at least one of them has to be legit. I'm convinced in that sense.
Okay. Tanny, what about you? Have you ever seen a UFO, or do you believe in UFOs?
Yeah, I've never seen one, but I think it's really an arrogant human take to believe that there's nothing else out there in the world other than us. You know, that's kind of what I've always believed. You know, Speaks kind of alluded to that when we talked about it after the Chuck and Bill thing. But yeah, how could there not be? It's so vast, this universe, to think that we're the be all end all of species. You know, and I'm not buying that at all.
There are people out there that like hockey. How could there not be people out there who like aliens, who believe in aliens?
It's a fair question. Kind of.
Wait a minute. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's saying just because people like a sport that Shane doesn't, then that means aliens must exist. I'm having trouble walking point A to point B.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Obviously, what did you say there? Obviously, there are aliens, or that's the point of aliens? Yeah, that's the point of aliens.
Yeah, that's the point of aliens.
Everybody knows that. But I wanted to expand this beyond just UFOs here. Liam Hendricks was on the aforementioned Bernstein and Rahimi show today.
He talks real funny, that guy. I like it.
Talks like an Australian. And he...
I thought you meant Bernstein.
Yeah, him too.
Yeah. And he got some inspiration from not an extraterrestrial force, but let's just say a different, newer type of situation.
I was in AAA. I wasn't sure what my career trajectory was going to look like. I wasn't sure if this was going to be the last year, what was going to happen. So I went down and said, look, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out on my terms. I'm not going to be told by any organization to dictate the way I warm up, the way I prepare for anything. I'm going to go out and do me. And I went in long toss, which I felt like I had done in the past, the couple years that I was throwing harder, the couple years I had more success. And what I did growing up in Australia was I threw all the time. So if I didn't feel good, I just kept throwing until it felt good. And that was the program that had seemed to work for me. And a lot of long toss and a lot of I used a lot of different resources. So I used an actual tarot card reader called Ruby. And she was able to kind of get a couple things into my head that realized that I was thinking very negatively upon every situation, where it was always like, well, why did this happen to me? Not how do I get past this or anything like that. I took a positive mindset into absolutely everything, and now it's you don't think I can do this, watch me. And that's my kind of game plan coming into every season.
Where did you find Ruby the tarot reader?
So that would be my wife again. She's going to be a common theme in everything that has come successfully in my life.
Aww.
But she was on Instagram, and Sarah Hyland, who plays from Modern Family, so she had posted about Ruby. Chrissy had just DM'd her and be like, look, she's a celebrity tarot card reader. Like, she's going to be too busy, but Ruby got back to her straight away. And they built a friendship to the point where Thanksgiving before that, we went to Disney with Ruby. We had her and her husband over. like all her and her future husband over. And yes, yeah, so we have built that relationship to the point where pretty much we have a text going just as friends now. It's more of a friendship rather than a business proposition, which is fantastic.
Wow. I loved that. I mean, that guy's an unbelievable interview. Just fascinating, anecdotal, opinionated. I'm a huge, huge fan. But so now we got Baker Mayfield believing in UFOs and Liam Hendricks taking value in tarot cards or tarot cards?
Tarot cards.
Tarot cards.
Since the show meeting when you said tarot, me and Tanny have just been like waiting. Oh, he's going to say tarot cards on the air, isn't he?
That's thanks, like every guys. Once in a while, our very articulate, extremely smart, well-read, well-spoken buddy Danny just has a word or two that trips him up. Parrot is a bird. Yeah. Carrot is a vegetable, previously
tarot
referenced.
Cards.
And tarot is a card, yes.
Yeah, thank you.
A set of cards, really.
I've never done it, and that I am much more apt to believe in aliens than tarot cards. What about you guys?
Crystal ball, tarot cards, fortune teller, palm readers, those kind of things. Somebody set up who just kind of has a way of telling you your future or your intimate details on site and with the vague help of something magical. Yeah, that's a tough putt for me.
So here's the thing. I believe in willing things into existence, and what you believe is what will happen. So if you get your cards read and you agree with Ruby in this case, yes, I think that's how my future is going to turn out. Uh-huh. If that's in the back of your head, it's like a vision board thing.
Sure.
That's what I'm going for. That's what's going to happen. It's the same thing with like holistic healing. You believe holistic healing works, so maybe it does work for you.
Yeah, well, and I believe in the will to win, TWTW, something you can't quantify.
Always have, always will, yeah.
Well, no, that's well said, Shane, actually, and a surprise to everybody. So that's because... Yeah, and if they're good, yeah. Well, if the tarot card reader is good, they figure out something that you actually do want. They give you some encouragement towards something that you can maybe then help work into existence, and then retroactively they look brilliant, and you go back and you pay them again, or they become your friend, like Liam Hendricks and his wife. Nice to have the tarot card reader on the. On the friend tip, that's a nice
is it
bonus.
Though? If there's just so many people that if I had Liam Hendricks' money, I would have on the not that they're on the payroll, so they were legitimate friends, but like, you need a hookup in the tarot card community.
I got a guy. I just
chef, masseuse, driver, got to have a friend with a boat. Like, you need a tarot card friend. It seems a little extra to me, personally. But I like to think that I can control my own future, so someone else reading it for me would be a tough putt. But like, so what's the most ridiculous, crazy thing that you believe in? Because I will say, I become religious if I'm on a plane and there's really bad turbulence. And I know that's insane, and maybe that's outside the realm of possibility here, but like, the times where I'll pray to God and ask God for my safety on a plane if I think it's going down.
All right, to clarify, you asked me what's the most ridiculous thing you believe in,
yeah,
and then told me that sometimes you believe in God. You know, a lot of people actually believe in God, Danny.
I said what I said.
in their regular everyday life, and not just when the plane might
but
be
I
going
assume,
down.
But I'm saying is, it's not. You know, anyone can believe in whatever they want to believe in. What I'm saying is, I don't know many people that switch it on and off.
Yeah, some of these people out here believe in God. Can you believe them? That's crazy. They believe in that stuff.
I can see how you can take it that way. That's not what I meant. I'm saying the crazy thing for me is I treat it in that particular set of circumstances like an on-off switch.
I feel you.
I'm like, maybe now, just in case, could you help me land this plane? Because we're bouncing around a little bit here.
I should have said something to you earlier, God. But now is when I'm reaching out.
I'm a real Johnny come lately when it comes to religion and it comes in the form of turbulence. For me personally, again, not yucking another person's yum, okay? Anyone can believe whatever they want. But for me personally, that's when I go to the extremes. Is it turbulence? What about you?
I believe, I don't really believe in ghosts necessarily, but I believe that the dead can linger, that the dead can be present in a certain situation. There are times where I have absolutely felt the presence of my mother, who's been dead since 96. There are times when I'm convinced that she is in the room, or at least part of the continuum. There was a moment. There was a moment at a Tributosaurus show when we were doing Elvis Costello, and he's got a beautiful song called Shipbuilding. And we're playing Shipbuilding, and my buddy Max Crawford was playing the trumpet solo, which Chet Baker, the late Chet Baker, brilliant trumpet player, played on the record. And there's a moment where the trumpet solo, all of a sudden on the record, there's like a whole bunch of reverb, a whole bunch of effects go on the trumpet solo in this very specific part. And the sound man did it at the exact moment. And I was singing and I was like, oh my God, this is gorgeous. He's nailing it. And after the show, I said to the sound man, man, that was incredible that you did that. You did it just like they did on the record with Chet Baker. And he said, I've never heard that song before in my life. I was just mixing the song and something told me to do that. Something pushed me towards the reverb on the soundboard and I just turned it up. He literally did it for that one moment in the solo where it exists on the record. That's freaky. And I totally believe in, like, the aesthetic and sort of mystical power of those kind of moments. So does that qualify?
That qualifies.
That's a weird ghostly push to have a sound man put reverb on a trumpet solo.
Okay.
I don't know why.
So God on an airplane.
Yeah.
Reverb ghosts for sound men.
You bet. Shane.
I believe that Avril Lavigne is dead. I subscribe to that conspiracy theory that Avril Lavigne died and has been replaced by a lookalike. You can watch hours of the content on YouTube.
So going to Shane Spiegs is just dangerous. It is just we are in 2021.
Yeah.
It's just we're going to go down with our new EP.
Well, do you believe that the Avril Lavigne out there is the original?
Why wouldn't it be?
I've never heard anything about this.
I don't know this theory.
Huh. Well, a little bit of Google. It won't kill you unless
you're Avril
Lavigne.
Is this like a deep fake? Is this like the Tom Cruise deep fake that's going
around? No, it's not a deep fake. It's a legit thing that Avril Lavigne has been dead for about 10, 15 years now. and the Avril Lavigne out there is not the real one.
I saw her at the Beverly Hills Hotel in 2010 when I was getting a Reuben sandwich.
That would have been the new Avril.
That was Avril 2,
yeah.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yes.
That's who that was.
Here we go. The Avril Lavigne conspiracy theory.
Also,
returns.
I don't think we landed on the moon.
Well, there's that.
What is the matter with
you?
I watched Interstellar.
Oh, man.
It doesn't reference the moon at all, but it's just unrelated.
That's the one I really hope is true, that we never actually landed on the moon. It was all Stanley Kubrick production, and then he drops the breadcrumbs in The Shining.
In The Shining.
Oh, I love that so much. Like, you know, whether he did it or not, the fact that he wants you to think that he did it, I love that.
Oh, I think that this is maybe the basis for a new segment, like 420 Thursday on the Parkinson Spiegel Show, and we just talk about random things that we do or do not believe or may not be true.
I'm in. 420 Thursday.
420 yeah. Thursday. And we just let people sell us on things that we may or may not believe and just include reckless speculation that Avril Lavigne is not alive.
You know, why don't we start it? We could start it this week. And at 420 here on Thursday, we could have Big Dave, formerly of the Bulls Outsiders, try to tell us that the Bulls are, you know, a top-tier playoff team. Maybe that would be the crazy thing.
You're putting our guest in a very difficult position to succeed, frankly. But yes, it is time. We're going to talk to Big Dave from the Ball on Bulls podcast. Love this dude's Bulls opinions. He will join us. Are the Bulls good? I don't think so, but they're fun and better than they were. Is that enough? We're going to have that conversation next on The Score.
Mully and Hall. Chicago's.
Billy, if we told you before the season you'd be 16-18 at the All-Star break, what do you think your reaction would have been?
Oh, I mean, I have no idea, Cody. I mean, obviously, we have a losing record right now. You know, I mean, I don't really look at it that way. I mean, the record to me is more about how we're playing and are we making progress. And I think this team has made incredible progress, you know, in my opinion, just being with them. And they've done a really, really good job. And I think maybe Sam asked me the other day about, you know, what I was grateful for. These guys have been phenomenal. But, you know, at the same point, too, we have a long way to go. And I'm trying to, you know, not have them be satisfied. And we need to keep trying to pull more out of each other. They need to pull more out of me. I got to pull more out of them. We just got to pull more out of each other. And there's more to give. And there's growth and there's an opportunity to improve and get better.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
Billy Donovan, great question by our own Cody Westerlund here at The Score. Bulls head into the All-Star break. two games under 500. Spiegs, you know this. I enjoy nuance. We contain multitudes. We have the ability to have multiple things be true at one time. The Bulls are better. The Bulls are fun. The Bulls are exciting. The Bulls are watchable. But the Bulls are not good, and the Bulls are not close to winning a championship. At least that's how I feel. I believe that all of those things can exist at once. Let's see how our next guest, Big Dave from the Ball on Bulls podcast, you maybe saw him on Bulls Outsiders. He's with us on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. Big Dave, it's been way too long. Thrilled you're making your debut on the show. How's it going, man?
Man, I'm beautiful, but I want to know who's picking the music for y'all, because to bring me on to some De La Soul is just awesome. Let me start. Whoever did that, awesome. Great job, man, for real.
It was me. No, just it was Chris Tannehill, of course, our audio overlord. He is the best in the business. But
wonderful, man.
How do you come out on the idea of, just simple question, are the Bulls good?
Yes and no. Like you just said, like, it's kind of nuanced. Like, they can be good. That for what we saw for the past 2 years, oh my God, this is so much better. I'm ecstatic to be 16 and 18. Like, I'm super happy. They're still in the playoff race in the East. They look like a better team. They look competent. They look consistent. We actually have an all-star. Like, we're not just at the all-star break, you know, just watching other people have fun and have great players on their team. We actually have one of those. So, yes, that part of it is good. But no, because there's still a lot of problems to get through. Wendell Carter Jr. still has issues with catching the basketball and is still 6'9" being a center. Lowry Markkanen is still hurt. Otto Porter Jr., I forget he even plays for us. Like, it's a lot of issues still going on with this team. But 16 and 18, dude, I will take that, absolutely.
Well, there's so many levels, Dave, that it makes it fun to watch and fun to analyze. They're actually pretty good and can hang in games, and that's fun to watch. But also, I feel like we can more fairly try to figure out which players are useful and keepable, like which guys could develop and which guys could not, because we don't have to think about how poorly they're being coached, how they're in the wrong position, how the front office doesn't have any idea how they'd fit together. I feel like we can be smarter as we watch and analyze these guys, don't you think?
Yeah, your brain isn't frying when you're watching this, because you're watching logic. Like, you're seeing logical things happen. You're like, yes, that's all I wanted. Like, even when they got rid of, you know, I don't even like saying his name, even when they got rid of the past coach, you know, and all those people, on the first day you can get rid of the coach, they got rid of him. And then they got, you know, just other pieces, other moves, AK and Eversley did. I was ecstatic. I was like, yes, competency, logic. Even on the floor with Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan's never not made the playoffs. It's not in his MO. It's not what he does. And you've seen the level of the team just go up. Denzel Valentine, you didn't even think that he could play basketball. You know, he was like, what does this do? You didn't think he could play basketball, let alone have a hot 16 on a rap album. So you had no clue. But now you're looking at him like, yeah, he could be a serviceable piece. You're looking at Kobe White, you know, seeing if he can be a point guard. You know, but he's a combo guard who's, you know, better scorer than he is a facilitator, obviously. But the dude is still a threat to score 30 points. And he's figuring stuff out, and they're trying these lineups that make sense and look good. And it's very, very nice. I enjoy watching it.
Yeah, man, me too. And you mentioned, you said earlier, we don't have to watch other teams' great players. We have one of those. And, of course, you're talking about Zach. I spent some time with the away broadcast last night, Joel Myers, doing the New Orleans Pelicans game. And he was blown away with Zach LaVine. Just kept saying, oh, my God, he's smooth. Oh, look how easy that is. Like, everybody around the league knows that is a great player right now. Do you believe that he can be a piece, like the first or second best player on a championship-caliber team?
Yeah, I think he could be a second for sure. I think the jury stood out on first. I mean, he's never won four games in a row in his career. So the jury, you know, the jury's still out on him being the number one. But being the number one option on this team, 28-5-5, you know, what is he having, a 50-40-80 season? That's Larry Bird stuff. That's Steph Curry stuff. He's shooting better threes than Steph Curry percentage-wise. He's shooting better from the field than Steph Curry percentage-wise. So, yeah, and he makes the game look smooth. And I remember Doug Collins saying that also, that in his 48 years of watching basketball, he never saw somebody make the game look so easy. Doug Collins saying that about Zach LaVine, man. So, yeah, it's just great to have this guy. And I wish he would have more love from the city. I want more love for Zach LaVine from the city, man, because people will pick at him about turnovers and stuff like that. Just appreciate the greatness that you're seeing on the floor.
I agree completely. We're talking to Big Dave, Ball on Bulls podcast, formerly of Bulls Outsiders, here on The Score. What do you hope to see them do at the trade deadline?
Man, I would like them to do just get some size. I think that would be good. I still don't believe in Wendell Carter Jr. as a center. Not to say he doesn't have a great skill set, because he does. But when I found out he was 6'9", to be 6'9", to be a center, you really have to be special. And I think of guys like Ben Wallace or Wes Unseld or Dave Cowens or even Bam Adebayo, those guys who are undersized playing that center position are special. Wendell has a nice skill set. He can score with either hand. But, man, like I said, he has problems, you know, holding on to the basketball. He's in his head often. You know, he's just learning how to shoot the three-point shot to, you know, space it out and keep the floor spread. I would like to see them pick up some size. And I continue to say every time I end this, I always say whatever AK and Everly want to do, I'm completely cool with. I don't care if they don't get anybody, that's fine. If they get somebody, that's cool. But, yeah, I would like to see some size in that.
I love the depth of knowledge right there. Wes Unseld and Dave Cowens getting a mention right there.
I'll surprise you, man.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. With 6'9" centers. And, you know, but then being able to judge Wendell is part of the thing. Now we can watch and now we can see what's there. What do you think of this Andre Drummond rumor that surfaced today? He's got $28.5 million left on his deal here.
Yeah.
Bulls would probably have to include Otto Porter, and I'm sure both of them would rather trade with a contender with these guys and get something actually useful. But if you could get Andre Drummond, that he'd have a hell of an effect on what the Bulls are up the middle right now.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, the fact that I can get rid of Otto Porter Jr. is great. Like, I can get rid of him and get that off the team, because that's awesome right there. Secondly, like I said earlier, you know, you're getting size. You're getting a legitimate NBA center. Third, you're getting a guy who honestly could get you 20 and 20. Like, he can score 20 points and 20 rebounds. We've seen him do that. And he's solid defensively. He gets steals. I remember the year he was second in steals in the NBA at center. And, I mean, he can get block shots. I mean, yes, absolutely. You go get a big man like that, you put him in, you get Otto Porter Jr. off my team, and roles become more defined when you got a guy like that on your team.
My problem with Drummond isn't Drummond. My problem is there's no way it'll be Otto Porter for Andre Drummond straight up because Otto Porter is hurt. So they're both expiring contracts, so the Bulls will have to add an asset. So, like, I would assume it does. Maybe it doesn't. If I told you it's Lauri Markkanen and Otto Porter for Andre Drummond, you making that trade?
Oh, see, that's where you hit me in the sweet spot right there, Danny, because I'm definitely on Lauri Island, and I've been there for a while. You know what? Yeah, I'd make the trade. Why not?
Really?
Let's make the trade. And I like to see Wendell at the four anyway. I think he's out of position. I like to see him at the four. And like I said, I'm bringing in Drummond. Like I said, that's 20 and 20. That's a legitimate NBA guy, man. That's 20 and 20. Man, and that hurts to say because I love Lowry, but injured every single year. And I know it's 19 and 6 that he's averaging, 50% from the field, 40% from three. Awesome. I got some of his hot sauce upstairs in my house, man. I love Lowry marketing, okay? But, dude, he can't stay healthy. He's sometimes inconsistent. I watch him get bullied in the post a lot. I mean, he's got a lot of things he's got to work on, man. Like, I'm okay with making that trade, and his contract is coming up, and you know he's looking for that $20 million. You know he is. He's 7 foot tall and can get you almost 20 points and 9 rebounds a game. Yeah, he's looking for that. Is he worth that? I don't know. I know what I'm getting in Andre Drummond. I know I can get 20 and 20, and I get a bully in the sandbox.
Wait, so if you're on Lowry Island, so where are you on Lowry for Lonzo Ball, which has been much discussed and is – fun to think about and maybe conceivable. Yeah. Only 26 minutes for Lonzo Ball last night. He's in the doghouse a little bit in New Orleans.
Yeah, I'd make that trade too, guys.
Yeah, good.
We're 16 and 18. Like, we're not talking about, you know, a team that is defined and knows everything they're trying to do. But, I mean, you need a facilitator. That's the other thing I just talked about with Kobe. We know he's not a facilitator. We understand this. We know he's a scorer. And honestly, over his past six games, he's been awesome. He's been averaging over 20 points, shooting 48% from the field. I think about 35% from three in his past six games. He's been really, really good at that. But, man, you know the facilitating is what this team needs and how the offense kind of hums when that happens. Because you see him when Satoransky kind of comes in the game and kind of stabilizes. Now, he can't score a lot of points to warrant me saying start Tomas Satoransky, but Lonzo Ball can. Lonzo Ball can actually get you like 12 points, 14 points a game, get you those rebounds and those assists, and make everybody's role better. Like, great point guards remove thinking. And I think that's kind of what Lonzo Ball does.
So listen, man, I love your grind and your hustle and your passion. I was sad to see the Outsider show get scrapped. Tell people where they can still find your Bulls content and what you're doing these days.
Well, you check me out on the podcast I do called Bow on Bulls. You got to say it like Avery Johnson is saying it. And also, you can check out Bulls Outcast with my man John and my man Matt. We are still at it. You can check us out on the Hot Mic app, on the Bowl on Bulls YouTube page, and we put podcasts up of the show after every single show on the Ball Sports feed. So, yeah, we are continually out there talking about these Bulls because we love it.
I respect the hustle, man, seriously. I was a huge fan of them giving
thank
that
you,
shot.
Man.
I think they should have stuck with it. Excuse me. We'll have you back on again, man. All right, thank you.
Great to see y'all, man. Thank y'all for having me.
All right,
you
thanks,
as well.
Dave. It's a pleasure.
It's Big Dave. Ball on Bulls. I love those guys. Those guys were fun, and I think it's cool. A different idea in media. Completely disagree with them on Drummond with Lowry included, but that's okay. The strong opinion, who he backed it up. Here's why I wouldn't do it. Drummond is an unrestricted free agent. Lowry's restricted. So if you've made the decision that you're not paying Lowry, mm-hmm. then fine. But I don't know how they could have made that decision already with not seeing him play for a long stretch of time with Billy Donovan and with these guys being better. And so you would be giving up an asset that you control for an asset that you don't control,
right?
Just for this year's playoff push. And I don't believe that they are at all interested in doing that. Like, I saw the report that they had made calls on Andre Drummond. They should make calls on Andre Drummond. But Otto Porter's an expiring contract. Drummond's an expiring contract. But Otto's hurt. So if you had to give a real asset in addition to it just for this year's playoff run, that strikes me as a little short-sighted, even if Lauri Markkanen's not going to be here long-term. You still at least can decide on if you want to match on Lauri Markkanen.
All right, so you believe they wouldn't do that, and I think that's right. Would you also not do that? I assume that you would also not do it, because you don't see the value in a playoff push with this bunch, particularly.
Well, I think that they can make a playoff push with this bunch without doing it.
Without
they
doing
already
that.
Are.
While maintaining
they already
some
are.
Control. Right, while maintaining some control over some pieces. No, I agree with that. I would do the trade for Lonzo Ball, though, because you'd still have the control over Lonzo as you do for Lowry as
Correct.
He hits free agency, and you'd buy yourself – I would do that trade in a heartbeat, because you'd buy yourself an opportunity to see how he works with these guys and see how these guys function with a guy with the court vision that he has. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
I would, too. I also don't think that Drummond and Wendell – is enough like front court shooting. You know, like these days you need a big who will stretch the floor and step out. I know both of those guys are willing to, but I don't know. I don't love that fit basketball wise on the team. So I was a little surprised to see Shams report it and then making the effort. But like you said, I trust the front office, but that one did not strike me as an obvious fit basketball-wise.
Well, you know how we've talked about, and you've talked about a lot, how much better it would be to evaluate these guys and judge them if they had a point guard. Maybe they think it'd be better to evaluate some of these guys if they had a true center, if they had a true big, like in case, right?
You could play Wendell truly at his position?
Yeah, and see what you actually have with Wendell, who has shown range, who's shown the propensity to hit a three every now and again, and certainly a 16, 18 footer with alacrity. So
yeah, and they want him to shoot more, and he would be able to shoot more if he was a four. That's possible. It could be a move more to help Wendell than other ways. I mean, that's That's possible. Again, you don't control that asset. You do control the asset of Markkanen. So it feels a little short-sighted for my liking.
I think Wendell's going to go down as a miss. And I like the guy. I like the work ethic. I even like the skill set. But there's something a little slow about him. And there's also something just a little too short about him that makes me think he ends up being one of those, a tweener that doesn't quite have the spot at either the four or the five. I know we're positionless largely, but you know what I mean. He's not quite quick enough to do the things you need a quick big to do and not big enough to do the things you need a big to do.
I think that Big Dave hit on it too. He needs the mental skills guy. He needs you messed up. You missed the shot or you dropped the pass or whatever. Don't let it translate to the defensive side of the floor. Like, forget it and just keep it moving. So I'm not ready to give up on him. We were talking about Julius Randle the other day. Like, sometimes it takes longer for guys to click. I'd like to see him in the right position with a point guard and have some success and not be injured. Be able to play 40, 50 games in a row without actually having it be interrupted and his development stunted. He hasn't had that yet since he's been in the league. So it's too soon for me to go there on Wendell.
By the way, good news for Daniel Gafford. You're out of the doghouse. Bad news for Daniel Gafford. Zion Williamson ate you alive repeatedly last night, and that made its way to highlight reels all over the NBA. Zion is, he's crazy fun to watch in the paint and around the rim. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's pretty
Speaks,
damn good.
Thanks to your recommendation, I bet Garrett Temple to score the first basket, and I put my entire month's rent on it, and it didn't happen. So
I'm sorry.
We should probably have a conversation.
Patrick Williams hit last night, though, baby, if you're hanging around.
You didn't recommend that.
No, I didn't. I said Wendell Carter Jr. But the point of the Wendell recommendation could also be seen as being a Patrick Williams consideration, third or fourth scorer. Look for guys that they run plays for early on and think about from the team dynamic who would feel encouraged by
now
getting an early touch.
Now you're truly a gambler. Now you're truly a gambler because you're like, well, I didn't bet on it and I didn't recommend it, but I could have.
That's true.
It I could have been there.
You can see my logic from where that logic paid off.
That's right.
You can see mine from there.
Welcome to the club.
By the way, I parlayed Zach LaVine 30-plus and the Bulls to cover last night, and I won that. So, I'm your guy. I'm your Huckleberry.
That's information that would have been useful yesterday.
Yeah, good point.
We'll teach Speaks how to be a gambler soon enough. He will get us excited for opening day baseball in a different sort of way. Next on The Score.
Why is today not opening day?
It's not opening day for me.
Prove to me that it's not.
Well, your record.
Well, that's only if you believe your record, you know? It's kind of the mentality like, if what has happened is a memory and what's going to happen is a thought, you're taking yourself out of right now. So in that case, every day's opening day.
It's deep stuff from Nick Castellanos about opening day. Opening day speaks. I'd like to say it's fast approaching. That's not really true.
It's pretty fast. It's pretty fast, isn't it? Less than a month, Parco.
Less than a month? Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I want it here now. I want it to be warm. I want to be outside. I want to have something to do. I want it now.
Yeah.
I'll get nothing like it.
Certain days when the sun is hitting you and it's the right time of day and it can feel warm, you're like, today is the greatest day I've ever known. And it might be. It might be. It could be. Opening day. I just saw a report, Danny, that the Cubs and the White Sox have asked the mayor for 30% capacity on opening day. Previously, the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, had said that there were some sensible proposals out there from the Cubs and the White Sox, and she was considering their questions. So apparently they've asked for 30% attendance on the 1st of April, which would be
that's
a
from
little
Jesse
over,
at ESPN.
Just yeah, from Jesse Rogers. From Jesse Rogers at ESPN. 12,000 at each stadium. Would you accept that? Yes! Yes, I would accept that! Yes, please!
Of course. I mean, listen, I've heard, because I told you about the indoor tenants asking, or planning for 10 to 15%. I've heard from people with all the different sports and some of the people in the event space that don't have direct affiliation with the teams but work that work for all of them, frankly, in that they don't know what they're going to get. It's at the city's whim, but they are expecting to get something. So it's just, it might end up be the case there that they're asking for 30% and they know it's going to be a negotiation and it'll get whittled down and it'll be 20%. But I do feel like if we were going to do it again and say, when are there going to be fans? Yeah. I think opening day or, you know, April 15th or May 1st. I don't think we're very far away from some fans being at baseball games this summer.
Oh, I don't think we are at all. It's pretty remarkable. I think I would now book it that it happens at some point in the month of April.
Yeah.
In fact, the way that things are going, I found a national tracker, Danny, that tells us what all the franchises are doing, what they've asked for, at least what they've got. Would you like to take a stab at how many teams have a flat out yes from their either mayor or governor to having fans, some percentage of fans in attendance on opening day? Out of 30 franchises, how many full-on yes answers do we have?
15?
It's a great guess. 14 is the answer. Right now we have 14 that are full-on yes. We have 3 that fall in the likely yes category, and both Chicago teams, before this report, were on the likely yes category of the national tracker. I'm looking at it, CBSSports.com. Minnesota, the other one in the Midwest, on a likely yes track right now. 12 out of the 30 are undetermined as of right now. There's only one full-on no. That's in Washington, D.C. for the Nationals, but they rule every 2 weeks. So in another 2 weeks, the Nationals will be able to ask again, and it's possible that they will get a different answer at that point. But yeah, you can look around. 30% is the ask, as we said, from Chicago. And most places are getting less than that. 25% capacity in Houston, 25% for the Angels in L.A. The Dodgers are at 18%, and numbers vary all over the country a little bit.
I got a question for Lori. Can I ask Lori a question?
I don't have her available, but go ahead.
Yeah. Lori, if you are cool with indoor bars going up to 50% capacity, yeah, starting, what was it, last Tuesday, the Tuesday of this week, why in God's name are you not giving a resounding yes to a minimum of 50% capacity at outdoor baseball games?
Bigger
Where's
group.
The logic? I don't care about the capacity. I don't care.
Bigger total. Bigger total.
It's open air. It's open air.
I think the idea is 20,000 people that would have to congregate in some form or fashion, right? If you did 20,000 people at Wrigley, bathrooms, concessions, waiting to get in line, security, things like that. They want to see a plan that you will be able to maneuver your way throughout the stadium and maintain some degree of social distance.
Right, and that makes all the sense in the world. But if I subscribe to that, how am I supposed to be able to get angry?
It's a good point.
That's a fair question.
You got very shangry there.
We might be lining up towards a Dr. Citrenberg question and answer period necessary coming up soon here, because those differences between the indoors that are being allowed more and then the outdoors and what they'll be. And frankly, I'm just fascinated by things like this. The Mets and the Yankees are cleared at 10% capacity, which is about 4,500 fans. For the Mets, 5,500 for the Yankees. The Brewers, 35% capacity. 14,700 in Milwaukee is deemed okay. What is, I mean, is it really, and we know the governor of Texas just said, 100%, we're open, let's go. So is it really just the whim of the politician in charge here on some level?
Yeah. Have you been, you've been alive for the last year?
I've been paying attention, yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I just continue yes. to... I continue to hope that some higher medical cohesive power arises somehow and points us in the right direction.
That's hilarious. Tanny's open and everyone playing with my emotions in the form of a desperation index. A desperation index that will prove, apparently, to me, that the Bears are going to get Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. Spiegs created it. It's next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.